听力课堂，听 class.com。
Unit 9, Feeling the Financial Market, 1. Part 1, Getting Ready. A. The following words and phrase will appear in this unit. Listen carefully and study the definitions.
1. Asset. 2. Security. 3. Bullion. 4. Spot. 5. Sterling. 6. Portfolio. 7. Premises. 8. Comptroller. 9. Wall Street.
B. You are going to hear a passage about the language of money. Supply the missing words while listening.
Stocks or shares are the most common ways of investing. Someone who has bought stock in a company owns part of it and has a right to part of the company's assets and profits. Stocks are also sometimes called equities. A bond is an agreement to lend money at a fixed rate of interest over a certain period of time. Both companies and governments issue bonds as a way of raising money. A bond does not give any right of ownership. The contracts on which stocks and bonds are issued are also called securities. Derivatives are more complicated. A derivative is basically a bet on what a stock, bond, or commodity will be worth at a certain point in the future. The most common form of derivatives are options and futures. Someone signing a futures contract promises to buy or sell a certain amount of stocks, bonds, or commodities at a fixed price by a certain date. Options give people the right, but not the obligation, to buy or sell at a certain date. As well as being used to trade other things, options and futures can themselves be traded. In the West, unit trusts are a popular way for small investors to put their money to work in the markets. Called mutual funds in the United States, unit trusts combine money from lots of small investors into one large pool. This is then invested by a professional fund manager. Unit trusts enable ordinary working people to play the market while leaving the professionals to worry about stocks, bonds, derivatives, and other financial instruments.
Part 2. The Commodity Markets. A. The following passage is a piece of financial news about the commodity markets. While listening to it, write down some key words in the notes column. Finally, we hear news from the commodity markets.
In the London bullion market yesterday, the price of gold was steady. After opening in the morning at $324.25 an ounce, it ended up just 75 cents at $325 exactly. New York gold prices were fractionally stronger, edging up 20 cents to close at $324.70. In Hong Kong today, gold opened at $324.45. That's just 15 cents above last night's close. Silver in London yesterday slipped slightly, the metal ending 4.5 pence below the previous close, with spot at 4.28. And 3 months at 438.5. In London this morning, spot silver started trading at 6.10 an ounce. That's around 4.27 an ounce. On the London Metal Exchange yesterday, base metals drifted lower in reaction to stronger sterling. The settlement prices were copper 958, tin 8,437, lead 271.5, zinc 420, aluminum 659.5, and nickel 2,855. Among the softs, cocoa bounced after its recent fall, and coffee was strong. The London daily price for raw sugar fell by $5.5 to $132 a ton. In New York, cotton was easier. November wheat gave up two at 334.5 cents a bushel, though December corn was up 3/4 at 225¾.
So now we've heard news about the currency markets, the stock markets, and finally, the commodity markets. B. Listen to the news about the gold markets and then complete Chart 1 by filling in proper prices. C. Listen to the news about the silver markets and then complete Chart 2 by filling in proper prices. D. Listen to the news about the London Metal Exchange and then complete Chart 3 by filling in proper prices. E. Listen to the news about some other commodities and then complete Chart 4 by filling in proper numbers. F. Now, try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the financial news.
Finally, we hear news from the commodity markets. In the London bullion market yesterday, the price of gold was steady. After opening in the morning at $324.25 an ounce, it ended up just 75 cents at $325 exactly. New York gold prices were fractionally stronger, edging up 20 cents to close at $324.70. In Hong Kong today, gold opened at $324.45. That's just 15 cents above last night's close. Silver in London yesterday slipped slightly, the metal ending 4.5 pence below the previous close, with spot at 428 pence and 3 months at 438.5. In London this morning, spot silver started trading at 610 cents an ounce. That's around 427 pence an ounce. On the London Metal Exchange yesterday, base metals drifted lower in reaction to stronger sterling. The settlement prices were copper 958, tin 8,437, lead 271.5, zinc 420, aluminium 659.5, and nickel 2,855. Among the softs, cocoa bounced after its recent fall, and coffee was strong. The London daily price for raw sugar fell by $5.5 to $132 a ton. In New York, cotton was easier. November wheat gave up two at 334.5 cents a bushel, though December corn was up 3/4 at 225¾. So now we've heard news about the currency markets, the stock markets, and finally, the commodity markets.
Part 3. Bank Organization. A. In this section, Mr. Ed Walker is describing the structure of his bank to Françoise Kai. While listening for the first time, don't forget to write down some key words in the notes column. After the second listening, supply the missing information in order to complete the organization chart. Ed Walker describes the structure of his bank to Françoise Kai.
Okay, there's an organization chart here, Francois, in the back of the annual report that we can run through just to make things a little clearer.
Oh, good.
We were reorganized earlier last year, so the organization is still fairly new. Basically, as you can see, we're split into 6 line divisions. The first of these, the banking division, consists of 3 geographic groups. Group 1, the Americas, Group 2, Europe, and Group 3, Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. All of these groups offer a full range of international banking services. Then there's the private banking division, which serves consumers in the domestic and international markets. The treasurer's division has a wide spread of operations, which includes investment portfolio management, commercial paper, government and municipal bonds, foreign exchange, bullion, and public finance.
So there are 3 operative divisions.
That's right. And these 3 operative divisions are backed up by another 3 servicing divisions. Firstly, there's the administrative division, which covers administrative services as well as personnel, premises, and economic analysis. The Financial and Information Systems Division includes the Comptroller's Department, the Corporate Tax Department, and the Systems and Data Processing Department. And then finally, the Corporate Planning Division includes Strategic Planning and Credit Policy and Administration.
Yes, I see.
It gets much more complicated than that if we go into detail, but I'll leave the annual report with you in case you ever need it for reference.
Right. Thank you very much.
That was Ed describing the structure of a leading American bank. B. Now, try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the passage.
Ed Walker describes the structure of his bank to Francois Kai.
Okay. There's an organization chart here, Francois, in the back of the annual report that we can run through, just to make things a little clearer.
Oh, good.
We were reorganized earlier last year, so the organization is still fairly new. Now, basically, as you can see, we're split into six line divisions. The first of these, the banking division, consists of three geographic groups. Group 1, the Americas, Group 2, Europe, and Group 3, Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. Mm-hmm. All these groups offer a full range of international banking services. Then there's the private banking division, which serves consumers in the domestic and international markets. The treasurer's division has a wide spread of operations, which includes investment portfolio management, commercial paper, government and municipal bonds, foreign exchange, bullion, and public finance.
So there are three operative divisions.
That's right. And these three operative divisions are backed up by another three servicing divisions. Now, firstly, there's the administrative division, which covers administrative services, as well as personnel, premises, and economic analysis. The financial and information systems division includes the controller's department, the corporate tax department, and the systems and data processing department. And then finally, the corporate planning division includes strategic planning and credit policy and administration.
Yes, I see.
It gets much more complicated than that if we go into detail. But I'll leave the annual report with you in case you ever need it for reference.
Right. Thank you very much.
That was Ed describing the structure of a leading American bank.
Part 4. More about the topic. The Dow Jones Industrial Average. In this part, you are going to hear a passage about the Dow Jones Industrial Average. While listening for the first time, write down some key words in the notes column. After the second listening, complete the following outline by supplying the missing information.
The Dow Jones is used to measure and report changes in stock values on the New York Stock Exchange. A system of points instead of dollars is used to measure the changes. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is a daily measure of the average value of stocks in 30 major American companies. The companies on the Dow Jones list are changed from time to time. Financial and economics experts use the Dow Jones Industrial Average as a general measure of the American economy. Stock is a share of ownership or investment in a company. The value of stocks continually change as investors buy or sell them on the stock exchange or market. Companies pay investors a share of their profits. When the price of stock in a company increases, more people want to own shares. The prices of stocks increase as the demand for them increases. And a company's value increases as the value of its stock increases. Also, investors hope to earn money by selling the stocks for more than they paid for them. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is more than a century old. Charles Dow was a reporter. He and Edward Jones began Dow Jones and Company in 1882 to provide business news. Later, they began publishing the Wall Street Journal newspaper. Charles Dow decided that the change in value of a group of stocks would represent the general level of prices on the New York Stock Exchange. In 1956, the Dow Jones Industrial Average reached 500 points for the first time. In 1972, it increased to 1,000. Since then, Each 1,000-point gain took less and less time. The Dow passed 4,000 last February. On Monday, it rose above 5,000 points for the first time. Then it quickly dropped below that level. On Tuesday, the New York Stock Exchange closed with the Dow above 5,000. Over the years, the stock market has had periods where great wealth was lost. In 1929, the Great Depression began and stock prices fell. For 3 years, the market did not improve. The Dow had its biggest one-day drop on October 19, 1987. It dropped more than 500 points, losing almost one-fourth of its value. Some investment experts say the number of companies on the list is too small to represent the complete stock market. They also say the list is not representative because most companies on it are large, strong companies. Today, investors use many lists of companies as they decide what to do with their money. However, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is still the most closely watched list.
Part 5. Do you know? In the passage you are going to hear, the speaker is trying to explain the meaning of economic growth. While listening for the first time, don't forget to take down some key words in the notes column. After the second listening, write down the full names of the following acronyms.
There is general agreement amongst economists concerned with the problems of LDCs, less developed countries, that a distinction should be made between economic growth and economic development. Economic growth is defined as an increase in the productive capacity of an economy over time, giving rise to an increase in real NI, national income. If the rate of growth of income is greater than the rate of growth of population, income per capita will also rise. Economists distinguish between GDP, the gross domestic product, and GNP, the gross national product of an economy. GDP is the total final output of goods and services produced within an economy for any given year by both residents and non-residents. GNP is equal to GDP plus net property incomes from abroad. For most LDCs, net property income from abroad is likely to be negative, and thus GDP will be greater than GNP.